very few Idahoans with current cases in immigration court have legal representation. However, when someone is served with a notice to appear in immigration court, or if they have been detained by federal immigration officials, the law does require that they are immediately notified of organizations that can provide free legal services in their area. Well, up until last month, the closest organization for Idahoans was in places like Montana. This is where Boise attorney Maria Andrade and her new nonprofit, Immigrant Justice Idaho, comes in. The goal is simple: address our state's gap in free or low-cost legal representation for people who are dealing with immigration cases. Maria is joining me live in studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So a lot of people are very aware that in criminal cases, if you cannot afford to pay, you are legally required to appoint a public defender to someone. But that's not the case when we're talking about immigration cases, correct?
That's right.
So why is there that disparity?
The disparity is because the consequence of a criminal case is going to jail, right? It's like penal incarceration. Whereas the sanction for coming into the country unlawfully or not being here without a visa, for instance, is simply a civil consequence. Mm. That is, we remove you, we deport you from the country. And so the law doesn't recognize that removing you from your family and removing you from the country is as severe as being locked up. And that's why the Sixth Amendment, you don't have the same Sixth Amendment protection to a free, competent legal defense.
So it's civil versus criminal is basically the bottom line.
That's right.
So when you came up with this idea, was it because, I mean, you have been an immigration attorney for 20 plus years, so you have seen this. Mm-hmm. Was the need growing, or has it always been here?
Unfortunately, the need has always been here. And it's really clear when you get into immigration work that a large population of your clientele is among the least able to afford to pay anyone, particularly if the focus of your immigration practice is removal or deportation defense, release from custody, or what we would call family immigration petitions, such as a U.S. citizen filing an application to legalize a family member. Mm.
And from there, when you've been seeing this, is also that we don't have a lot of immigration attorneys. I mean, if you look at somewhere like Texas, where we border Mexico, there are, just because of the need, more attorneys. We don't have that here.
Right. And it is the combination of not having enough attorneys and our population really being somewhat smaller when compared to others. I mean, if you went to New York or you went to Los Angeles, there would be three or four places that had already been established statewide legal services opportunities for individuals in removal defense. So when I moved here, there was no one statewide immigrants defense location, and there certainly wasn't any infrastructure for providing individuals who are called to immigration court free or low-cost representation. There are lots of other, you know, nonprofits who handle a limited number of cases for immigration proceedings that are not in court. So that would be sort of the family petition example that I'd given you earlier.
Now, there is a federal requirement, as we stated in our opening, that someone who has been detained or is needing to go to immigration court has to have information about where they can get free or reduced legal representation. The issue that you found was that we didn't have an organization like that here in Idaho.
That's exactly right. And most of the organizations that do exist, whether Montana or Washington, I mean, they're understandably, they limit their services most likely to, and most often to, residents. So there simply was no place to turn for free or low-cost immigration deportation defense.
So move me through how Immigrant Justice Idaho will work and is working, because you are officially up and running.
That's right. For instance, last weekend, or this 2 days ago, we had our first set of workshops. The way it's going to work is individuals will call us, or they'll be referred from agencies and entities that have contact with this population. They will be offered a presentation to come to our office and get a presentation. And the presentations will be on different things, from naturalization to court to general immigration information. But after attending the presentation, they'll be immediately screened by legal representatives. And then from that point, we will make a decision as an office, considering different factors: ability to pay, urgency of case, complexity of case, whether it could be placed potentially with another low-cost provider, or we could get a pro bono attorney, and then we would place those cases, or we will take them in at that time.
And then there are also people, though, who, when we talk about being detained, are detained outside of the state of Idaho. So then how does that process work?
Yeah, that's really tricky. So Idahoans that are not released from custody by Immigration and Customs Enforcement are transferred currently to a detention facility in Tacoma, Washington. Because Immigrant Justice Idaho is also recognized as a referral services, what we'll be doing is referring those Idaho families to nonprofits and other appropriate places for representation in Tacoma or that area so they could get to a bond hearing and hopefully get released. Once those Idahoans are released, they'll return to Idaho, and at that point, we could intake them for actual representation.
I'm speaking with Maria Andretti. She is the executive director and founder of Immigrant Justice Idaho. Also, Maria, you say that only about 25% of Idahoans who are in the process of immigration court have legal representation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that's from, I think, the TRAC immigration database.
That's right.
And it would be a very easy jump to make that if you have legal representation, your odds are probably better than if you do not. And that's just from the standpoint of even someone who goes in for a traffic ticket, right? Mm-hmm. It's harder to go through the process if you're not a lawyer.
Right, right. And probably the cases that make the most difference are usually the asylum type cases because they're pretty complex, or people that have really long, complicated immigration histories where they used to be a visitor visa and then they used to have some other status that maybe they left the country and came back. But yeah, I mean, the statistic, one of the reasons that this was an something that I wanted to do, particularly where you feel as an immigration practitioner, sometimes it's hard to think how you're making a difference. We know statistically that people are 5 to 10 times more likely to win their case, depending on other factors, if they have representation. So here is a way that we know we can make a tangible difference in Idahoans' lives, not just the actual person in court, but entire families and communities.
And that is the gap that you're hoping to fill, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you've had a lot of support behind this project. I mean, in fact, retired Idaho Supreme Court Justice Jim Jones is behind this. What was that like to get that kind of support for this project?
You know, it feels great. It feels like a real, acknowledgement of kind of the work we've done as a private firm over the years in the pro bono arena. Folks like Jim Jones, like Sergio Gutierrez from the Supreme Court, other individuals who've worked in high-level positions with regard to, law schools in the area, and in fact, even the executive directors of Catholic Charities, of La Posada, of Community Council of Idaho. So it has felt really heartwarming to know that they're behind it, and also to see that they recognize that this is the one area that none of us have really come together to figure out a way to deliver services is people that have to show up in court, which is the most intimidating thing often for anybody, much less somebody who's new to the country, maybe doesn't know the language and has no idea about how a formal court system works.
I think one of the interesting things you're doing is a mentoring program with new attorneys. Talk to me about this and why you put this in place.
So what we'll be doing is, as we talked about earlier, there aren't a lot of immigration attorneys in Idaho. But one of the things we have noticed over the last couple of years is a resurgence. Suddenly, I'm getting phone calls from more law school professors who are telling me that the numbers of students that are expressing interest in this area has grown. I'm getting phone calls from people who practice other areas of law that want to take an immigration pro bono case but have no idea. So it's difficult to get training that's affordable in Idaho. Most of the training that I have had to get is getting on a flight and going somewhere else and paying, hotel fees and travel costs and registration fees. And it makes it very intimidating for a new practitioner. Likewise, because we don't have most immigration practitioners are small solo practitioners, there aren't a lot of opportunities to get mentorship directly from your supervisor because maybe they don't have a job opening. Mm-hmm. So what we'd like to do is two things. One is a technical assistance line where individuals can call us with case questions as they come up. The other would be simulating what it would be like to work, for instance, for our firm with our supervision for an individual who opens a law office at, let's say, in Idaho Falls. So for a fee, somebody for a year perhaps could get access to our brief banks could count on a certain number of hours per year that they could strategize mm-hmm. with us. And so we could give them the support that they would have gotten had they been able to join a firm that had senior attorneys, but they're running their own office. And that way we avoid newer attorneys learning, unfortunately, on the backs of mm-hmm. their clients, which nobody wants to do.
And, you make an interesting point there, too, because even though, you now have Immigrant Justice Idaho, it's based in Boise.
That's right.
We don't have just these cases in the Treasure Valley. So if there's not this option, let's say, in Idaho Falls, mm-hmm. in Coeur d'Alene, those cases could fall through the cracks, too, I would assume.
Yeah, they can. And one of the things we're really excited about that hopefully will fill, avoid that problem is that Immigrant Justice Idaho can have partners. And so through our database system, an individual or entity in Southeast Idaho could become an IJA partner, and we could give them access to a certain level of our database system where they could intake people and put them directly into our database as a referral. And we could immediately see that and begin a conversation with the individual. Likewise, as a partner, we could videocast, mm-hmm. Webcast a simultaneous presentation in other cities while we're doing it in Boise. So we definitely are holding ourselves out as a statewide entity and are actively making plans on how we can do that, because you're right, not the whole world of Idaho does not revolve around Boiseans.
And how many people do you think that you will be seeing? I mean, if you could project.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think consultation-wise, meaning the number of people that we talk to about their case and figure out what's going on before they refer out, I mean, I think that could be as high as 50 to 100 people every month and a half, based on the numbers just from this month. So we've only been advertising that we're going to do consults very recently, and we have probably 30 for this month alone. 30.
Right. Keep adding that. Right. I really appreciate your time today, Maria, and talking to us about this. Maria Andretti is the executive director and founder of Immigrant Justice Idaho. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.